Hey all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast. Today, I have the opportunity to have Eliza Dugan on the podcast. Eliza, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
My name is Eliza Dugan. I'm so glad to be here. I'm from Jerome, Idaho. I'm a fourth generation dairy farmer, and I'm this year's Idaho FFA state reporter.
Awesome. So I start off with this question on every single episode of the podcast because I love to hear everybody's FFA journey, and I think it's something that is perfect to put at the beginning. So, starting off, how has your FFA journey looked over the years?
So, mine kind of had an interesting twist and turn. So, I'm originally from Arizona. Both my parents were state officers and didn't always have the same similar story in FFA, but both were involved heavily in FFA. And then we moved to Idaho, and my older sister and me and my little two siblings came along, and I was actually born with a speech impediment and a stutter. And so I was really shy, really nervous. I did a lot of speech therapy. And so finally, when it came around middle school time, we have a middle school chapter at my home chapter, Jerome, Idaho. And it came around middle school time, and my parents were like, okay, Eliza, you're taking an ag class. And I was like, nope, I do not want to do that. I do not want to be around those country kids. That is not me. And they said, sorry, you have to get some leadership. And we know FFA and we know how amazing it is. So they kind of pushed me into it. So I did my first ag class. I went to my first FFA meeting. And then slowly I began falling in love with it. And I became a chapter officer, then a district officer, and now finally a state officer. And so it was something my parents kind of pushed me into, but I fell in love with. And I'm so glad that they took it upon themselves to like push me and to see something in me that I didn't see. And they gave me a lot of confidence that I wouldn't have had. And I'm so thankful because high school is a tough time and middle school is a tough time. And FFA really became kind of my home and my like refuge. And so I made a lot of new friends, and I see my ag teachers now as like second parents. And so I'm so glad that I had someone in my life to say, just do it. And I'm so glad because it made me who I am today. Without FFA, I don't know where I would be.
That is honestly like one of the most inspiring and like exciting ones that I've been able to hear so far. It's just so cool the things that FFA like pushes you out there to do, because I know I wasn't in the exact shoes that you were in, but like my freshman year walking in, I was confused, not knowing where in the world I could go to be like quote unquote accepted. And I randomly walk in one of our ag classes one day, and here they are. Here's a competition practice going on. And instantly, like, you feel that family connection with people that you may have never met in your life before. And it's just so exciting that FFA, and I know many other CTSOs and clubs also can have that family connection, but it's really special within FFA. So Moving on to the next question, what are some of your favorite things about FFA?
For me, I would say I love being able to learn more about myself. And I always say it's important to know what you like, but it's more important to know what you don't like. And so FFA, I really got to try a lot. And I talked earlier about having a speech impediment and a stutter. And so I was like, I'm not doing any speaking contests. And so my family, it's a rule. You have to do a speaking contest. And my older sister, she's going to be an ag teacher. And my younger brother, he's kind of like your ag mech, kind of country, really, really redneck. And getting him through high school is going to be a journey. It's going to look different than everyone else. And so same with my little sister. And so in our house, it's a rule you do a speaking contest. So I did Creed in 2020. And obviously we know how that ended up, but I actually competed online and I won my first year doing Creed online. And so I was like, I was an eighth grader. And so I had to rewin it as a freshman, and I rewon and I rewon. And so that really kind of started my love for LDEs. For me, team events are hard because I would always care so much. And sometimes it would be that other people don't care. And so I love the LDEs because you get to be doing something for your own, and you get to doing something that directly impacts how much work you put in, how much time you put in, equals how much you get in the result. And so I love all the LDEs, love the leadership, but I love the ag side. It connects me to a whole group of people that I wouldn't have met. I see agriculture as kind of like a brotherhood, kind of as a family. And so being in ag and being in FFA, it connects you to a bunch of people you've never met before, but you have something in common with them, and you have a special bond that people outside of ag don't really understand. Because I can see my dad going up and talking to someone, and he may have never met this person, but if he says, oh, you work in ag, and instantly it switches the conversation to this like remarkable thing where they have so much in common, but so much not in common. So I love the leadership and the LDE side of FFA, but I also love the kind of community and the people it brings into your life and the friends it brings into your life.
Yeah, that community aspect that you're mentioning, like I kind of touched on earlier, like there's been a handful of people that I've met over the years that, quite frankly, if I never would have walked into that ag class one day, I probably would never have met. And that community, that welcoming aspect is so exciting, and it truly draws in everybody. And, you know, then you have your other pluses of all the competitions you can do, all the events you can go to, all this, like, just the exciting parts of FFA. So yeah, moving on to the next question. What is your SAE and what does it involve?
I have a couple, so hang tight. So some of my favorites was market lambs, market goats, market dairy heifers, market steers, and then replacement dairy cows. And then I got my food handler certificate. So as you can see, I'm really heavily involved in production agriculture. I really loved raising and showing livestock. I would show all over Idaho, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, really the western parts. And I loved raising an animal, making the best it can be, presenting it the best it can be. I loved production agriculture. But it was kind of my junior year when my ag teacher goes, okay, you've got the production side down. Now let's venture something out. So I joined her food science class, and I learned more about handling and more about learning about preparing food and what it takes to really feed a bunch of people and what it takes, the science behind what we don't usually think about when it comes to cooking. And so I got my food handler certificate, and it really just kind of made me a little bit more well-rounded. So I loved trying new things and raising animals, and I'm so thankful that my ag teachers really pushed me to do something besides raising livestock, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like very diverse. I know this past August I decided that I was going to dip my foot into animals just some form or fashion, and poultry was the easiest way for me to do that. And I mean, an SAE is one of the most diverse things that you could ever do. And I was doing a preparation interview a few days ago, and one of the questions was asking about the three circle model. And then I went into SAEs a little bit, and I was like, yeah, it allows you to pretty much dip your feet into the water, get an idea of what your future career plan could be before, you know, go full in and get a good idea of that. And I think it's really, really important for everybody to have some kind of SAE, whether it be, like, for example, one of mine is agricultural communications. That literally could consist of anything under the planet nowadays. And it's one of the most diverse and one of the most fun. So, like, my biggest piece of advice for everybody is get some kind of SAE. If you have something that you may like, just try to make an SAE out of it, because you will not regret it. So, moving on to the next question. So, you did mention that you were elected to a Idaho state officer position. Could you walk us through the selection process that you had went through to be selected at that level?
Yeah. So when we think about IDFFA, if you think about like national office and how people get elected for national office, it's just that, but on a smaller scale. So applications come out in January. You usually are a senior in high school to a kind of freshman in college. Typically the people that run. And so applications come out in January. Our state convention is in April. And so sometimes that's really early for people or really late for people, depending on where your state association is. But you fill out this application, a lot of things in it. You give like your resume, write a paper, you write a lot of community service. You basically, it's like any other FFA like application you put in. And so you put that in, then they vet through them and they kind of sort them out into who they think are their favorites, their least favorites, who they want to ask these questions. And so the NOMCOM is comprised of, there's 12 districts in Idaho. And so each district has a representative, a NOMCOM member. So everyone in like kind of Idaho is represented. And then besides that, we have business and interview people, like in terms of like all of our businesses and corporations that sponsor Idaho, as well as kind of like retired, like a couple years back, state FFA officers, some national officer candidates, alumni, teachers, people who aren't really directly involved with the state office process right now, but have been in the past. And so they get together, they sort through these. Then the week of SLC, the first week in April, comes and you start with an initial interview. You go through and they cut who they want, who they don't want, depending on how many people there are. There was, I think, 22 last year. And so then they go in and they move into like an extemporaneous speech. They call it stand and deliver. You get put in a room, you give a topic, you write a 10-minute speech on it. No phone, no computer, no nothing. And then you go into kind of like a business and interview round where you sit down with a business professional. You go through and work through some issues. Last year we had like potato and crop consultant we talked to, and another one was a person from Idaho Education, a board member. And so it really, really diverse what they do. And so along the way, there's three cuts. So the two, and then there's the last one is your final. So final, a 10, and then six obviously get selected. And so then you go in through like your personal round interviews, and you go in through kind of like a group facilitation process. You talk about, working as a team. They kind of put us all together and have us build a workshop. And so sometimes you do it twice. There's ones you do for high schoolers and you get like 60 minutes to prepare, and there's a 30 minutes you get to prepare a middle school workshop. And you prepare it with your state officer candidate who's also running with you. And so of course on the Saturday of that first week in April, then the current team retires and then the new team is reelected. So come this April, I will retire and the new team will be elected, which I'm so excited to see and see who's going to be running.
Yeah, that like the process that you're mentioning is honestly very similar to the one over here in Tennessee. And every single year, like the best slate of candidates, and this goes for every single state association, like the slate of candidates that gets ultimately elected to that state officer team is like so exciting to see because there's so many states that I follow along personally with like what's going on there, and Idaho's one of them. And seeing that whenever y'all got elected, that was like one of the coolest officer teams that I've seen. So another question that I have about your time as a state officer, would you want to share about what it's been like serving as a Idaho state officer over the past year?
Yeah, I didn't always envision myself as a state officer. I think that's a good little like pre-context to my answer. I wasn't like that freshman in high school that was like, one day I'll be a state officer. And I'm so glad for the people who do like have that vision and can see it. But it really what came down to my senior year where I decided that I needed to give back and I needed to serve. And so I really see this year as a year of service, a year of giving back to so an organization and an association that gave so much to me. And so whether it's through members, through community service, through fundraising for the association, or meeting the advisors and getting to help serve them, it's really been an amazing journey. And I am so lucky to have such an incredible team with me. I have five new best friends, five new teammates that I hope will forever be in my life. But it's really been a journey of giving back, but also kind of seeing myself in a new light. You see and you develop a lot during state office. And little Eliza that was elected in April is very different to Eliza that's going to be retiring. And it's little difference that make, I think, a big difference. And so it's really been a lot of amazing experiences that I wouldn't have been able to have without state office. And so state office isn't for everybody, but if there's like a little nagging voice in the back of your head or a little something that's telling you to run, I 100% say run, because it is an incredible experience that I can't even describe it. It's nothing else out there like it than being a state officer.
Yeah, that's like, I know there's so many people that I've met over the past 3 years that had that aspiration to run. Some got selected, some didn't, but like seeing their fire for, or like their want to do more and serve in FFA is like one of the most inspiring things possible. And personally, I'm beginning in May for like my preparation for a state officer run,
That's
and
awesome.
getting the opportunity to do that on its own is going to be one of the most exciting things. And so a few weeks ago, or well, rather a few months ago now, I was speaking with some Tennessee FFA state officers, and they were mentioning their times at the State Officer Summit this past summer. Would you want to share about your time at that summit?
When I look back and think about Summit, it was right after our SOLA, which is our outdoor leadership, our summer outdoor leadership camp for district officers, chapter officers, any FFA members. So we did that and we immediately went to Summit. Summit's in Washington, D.C. And when I was there, it was interesting because I really didn't know what to expect. Now, Eliza is big into leadership, big into like personal development. I know I'm talking third person, but it's okay. So I really love bettering myself. But one thing I didn't have the opportunity to do is go to a conference like WLC or any of our GEM conferences that we had in Idaho. So I have been to conferences, just not FFA ones. So when I went to Summit, I didn't know what to expect. And as I look back now, I think that was a big time for me to realize that FFA is unique because it's a bunch of completely different people that all have a lot in common. And you don't realize how much you have in common with a person until you sit down and have a conversation with them. And I think Summit did that. It let us get together and talk and advocate for agriculture and do so much. And I became honestly a lot closer with my team over Summit. And I got to reflect more on what I wanted my year to look like as a state officer. And the national officers were amazing. And it's interesting how much they do and how much they inspire you as a state officer, because while our jobs are a little bit different, it's theirs is to a much larger scale. So it was great being able to work with them, and definitely was a one-of-a-kind experience that if anyone can go to WLC or if anyone can go to any conference for FFA, I implore you, do it. Do what you need to do to be there. It will change your life, and sometimes it will tell you things about yourself and about your future that you didn't know and you didn't see in your path. So that's the thing with conferences like that, is you don't expect, you don't know what to expect, but once you get there and once you get done with it, you realize how special and how amazing it was.
I can definitely vouch for that, walking in having absolutely no clue about what you're about to get like hit with over the next week or time frame that you're at these conferences. And like, one that always jumps out to me is my first time going to the Tennessee FFA like leadership training camp we have. And walking in, I was clueless. I mean, it was just another little summer camp. It was going to be a week of being away from home, and then the next week I'll, you know, have the summer to myself or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in there, I was confused. I didn't know what to expect. I heard there was going to be, oh, maybe four state officers are going to be there that week, and I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I may get to meet one. Freshman Carson was so confused, but now that I'm looking back on it, like, that confusion quickly turned into, like, a aspiration and, like, a fire. Because our theme that year was, like, finding your roots within FFA, mm-hmm. agriculture, whatever it could be. And spending that whole week getting to meet others around Tennessee, getting to meet the state officers, get to know them better, getting to meet state leaders, and getting the opportunity to do all that stuff quickly lit a fire within me, to say the least. Like I was mentioning this camp, like our Tennessee camp, would you want to talk a little bit about the camp that you had mentioned a little bit ago for Idaho FFA?
Yeah. So ours is solar. And as a district officer, it's pretty much not required, but really, really heavily pushed to go, because you kind of develop as a district officer and you learn more about serving and what your year will look like as a district officer, which are so very important to IDFFA. But also, it's really now kind of shifted and pushed to all FFA members. And so I went kind of going into my junior year. And I'll be honest, it wasn't the best experience. I went in with kind of a closed mindset. I was like, as soon as I can, I'm getting out of this place. I didn't make a lot of friends. I didn't push myself out there. It was mainly my fault, I'll be honest. It was a bad experience. And so when I went in there, I was like, I'm not a camper. I don't like this. But then now going into my senior year, I went again, and it was one of the best experiences I had. So I kind of prepared myself a little bit better with my mindset and being open and being willing. And I learned more about myself and as a leader. And I think that kind of nudged me to kind of follow that voice to run for state office. And it kind of nudged me to see what FFA kind of looked like my senior year. I mean, I've been doing FFA for 7 years now, a long time, since I was a seventh grader. And so I've done quite a bit. And so it really gave me that like spark back, and it gave me new things and new hope for the future. And so it, even if you do have a bad experience with these things, you kind of have to have someone in your corner that's going to push you, because they are going to know that regardless if you have one bad experience, you need to go back and try again and reevaluate why you kind of had a bad experience. So I remember talking to my state officers that I'm serving with now, and I'm talking with them, and they all went to our summer camp with us. And it was so interesting hearing their different perspectives of how camp went. And so why we're on officer team now, and we're best friends now, we didn't know each other then, and we didn't really talk to each other then. So it's very interesting how you see sometimes people get put in your life and you don't even see them until you see them. And so sometimes these conferences might not be, and these summer camps, especially our solar, might not be like, I know what I want to be when I grow up, but you might just be able to make that one friend or that one person that you get to connect with over your FFA career that will make all the difference. And so there's something really special about that, and especially summer camps, because it's people who don't have to be there coming together and making it a great experience. So I say do all your summer camps, do all those things that you can do, but also go in it with the right attitude. And even if you do, you go over and you do it in the wrong attitude, and you do that and you make a mistake like I did my junior year, if you get a chance to do it again, and do it to the best of your ability. So it all works out, and it's just nothing else like a FFA summer camp. They just, so many memories and so many people you meet.
Yeah, you mentioning going in with the right attitude. That right there is like one thing that I wish I could tell my younger self. While this was only 2 years ago, I mean, it's still, you know, it's been a minute. But walking in, like I said, I was scared. I had no clue what to expect, and I've told this story multiple times in, like, extemp speeches or anything to do with everything. But walking in with that right attitude is so crucial, especially today, because you may have this, like, predetermined thought that you're just going to go and you're just going to be there. You're just going to be counting down the days till Friday, day till you leave. That's one attitude that I may have slightly had. I mean, the car ride up to the camp that year, I was there. I really don't know how to describe it to the best. I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, but walking out of camp that week, like, there was just a new passion, a new fire, a new love for FFA and agriculture that was just born. And I know that so many states do a great job with nurturing that next generation of FFA members and agriculturalists, and not just that, but your next nurses, your next first responders, politicians, everything. And it's just so exciting to see that these summer camps are like one of the parts of the root systems that ultimately start that that plant that, you know, may be the future of their careers. So I have one more question regarding Idaho FFA, because I'm really interested with all these past few episodes I've been doing. It's been people from California, Texas, Iowa, everywhere across the country. And I always like to hear the like things that make their state stand out. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about your state convention or state conference, however y'all call it over there in Idaho. Could you share about that?
Yeah. So when I think about IDFFA, I think I should start with what our state theme is this year, and it's the road home. And so it's interesting, when we were deciding our state theme, it was right after we got elected. And so we actually announced it at our summer camp. And so we all talked about it and we had a great time. And we really all felt that home for us was FFA and ag. And so we employed our FFA members to take the road home, to follow the road that leads back to ag, and to realize whatever that place may be, the ag and FFA will be there with you along the way. And so later we found out by one of our NOMCOM adults that when we were asked to describe what the blue jacket meant to us, we all described a feeling of home. And so it was really one of those like eerie moments where you didn't know that these things were connected, but it was. And so when I think about IDFFA, we are a diverse bunch. We do everything from potato judging to cattle evaluation to having high schools with a trout and fisheries in them. And so when Idaho is really interesting from the top of the state to the bottom of the state, we have a lot of very different types of agriculture. At the very top, we've got wheat, we've got hay production, we've got the Palouse. And at the bottom of the state, we've got where I live, the flatlands, and we've got kind of the place where we see in my area a lot of dairy cows, a lot of our dairy production. And if you go more to the eastern side, you see a lot of the old cowboys and the mountains and the cattle. And so when we think about Idaho agriculture, we're very diverse. And same goes with our members. And I think it's really important. It's really something I've strived to kind of share about my journey in FFA, is you don't have to be an ag kid to be an FFA. We have a high percentage of people that are in production ag that are our IDFFA members. But I also think we have a high percentage of people who aren't from traditional aspects of ag being FFA members. And that is something really special. One of our chapters, Meridian, they are in right by our city's capital, and they have like four high schools that lead into their FFA. And it's people that don't even have areas to raise animals, but they come together and they do their best to help ag, and they find their roots and they find the things that matter to them in agriculture and FFA. So we are really lucky to have some amazing chapters, amazing advisors, amazing members. When I think about SLC, I call it SLC, but it's actually just State Leadership Conference. When I think about that, and state convention. It really is one of those. I think it's, I don't want to say the pinnacle of at my FFA years, but it definitely was really up there. It's an amazing experience. It's basically bringing everyone in Idaho together to celebrate FFA, to celebrate ag, to celebrate our achievements, our advisors, the people in our lives that are special. And so I always like to describe it as a big house party where everyone comes and you might not know them at the beginning of the week, but by the end of the week, you have made 50 new friends and you have so many more connections and you learn a little bit about maybe ag mech or a little bit about speaking contests, but ultimately you learn more about yourself. And so if I ever tell anybody, if you're on the fence about FFA, whether if you want to keep going in it or if maybe you want to quit, go to our state convention and see, because when you're sitting in those chairs listening to sessions or going and doing workshops and going and competing, then you will know, you'll have this like feeling that this is exactly where I need to be, or maybe this isn't where I need to be, and both are okay. And that's the beautiful thing, is state convention really is a big time where we get together and we just celebrate FFA and ag, and we celebrate Idaho and everything that we've done. And we always joke about my state officer team when we were at nationals. We said Idaho might have the most numbers, but what we bring is a lot of quality members, quality advisors. And if you see Idaho people, you know that they're going to be doing 110% to get up on that stage at nationals or to do their very best at nationals. So I really think we have a great association where it's kind of very traditional. It's very production versus non-production, but we have a lot of amazing things, that hidden gems that you might not know and might not see when you think about IDFFA or Idaho. And so state convention and everything kind of works, and you kind of have to just experience it. It's just a big party and really an amazing thing that I'm so lucky to have been a part of.
Like hearing the story of the state associations that are so driven and so excited to do things is like one of the most empowering things that you can hear. And I know you're mentioning like the diversity of Idaho, not only geographically, words are hard today.
It's okay, I get
Not only geography, what, yeah, I'm just gonna leave it at that. Not
it.
only that way, but also like when it comes to production and when it comes to the backgrounds, like hearing the diversity of that, it really brings it home in a way for me too, because Tennessee, I mean, we're broken up into three regions. We got West, Middle, and East. West is like the flattest part of the state. It's where you got all your production for, like you've got a lot of crops, row crops grown over here. Middle, it's starting to get hilly. It's starting to, bigger cities, all this kind of stuff. And then East Tennessee, it's the mountains. It's almost impossible to do crop production, all that over there. But like the diversity that the members from each of those regions in particular in our state brings to the table is so exciting. Like speaking with members from East Tennessee, I mean, I hear so many stories about the way that maybe their cattle productions go and how they do this and how they do that compared to over here in West, or same with Middle or vice versa. It's truly exciting, and seeing that passion not only in not only in Tennessee, but hearing about it in y'all state association, that passion for FFA and agriculture is like one of them big things that like just continues to not only drive me, but I know the 1,027,273,000 or 273 FFA members also see that passion and want to continue going. And it's so exciting. And I know that y'all state officer team, so many state officer teams are at the like pinnacle of growing that passion and that love for agriculture. And it's just it's exciting to see continue to grow in the coming years, and I know it will continue to grow. So I have a few more questions that I want to ask. And so the next one is, what is something that you're looking forward to most with the rest of this year in FFA?
I think so. Literally, I'll leave on Saturday, but we have Gem State, which is kind of like our big leadership conference we have just right around the corner. So I'm really excited for that. It's kind of facilitated by the state officers, but all curriculum is worked on by old IDFFA state officers. So it's really a great conference where we improve it each year, and each year it's getting better and better. And it's just going to be a great time to learn more about yourselves and leadership. So I'm really excited for that. I'm also really excited to learn and kind of experience what it's like to be an FFA week as a state officer. I always was really busy during FFA week as a high schooler and middle schooler, but this year I'm determined to like get myself in the mindset of it's FFA week. I'm focusing just on FFA, and it might be hard as a college kid, but I'm ready to just like lock in and do my best there. We're going up to our state capital, which is Boise. And I'm excited to meet with legislators, but also work with my state officer team more to really inspire people about FFA and get us excited. And obviously, I'm really excited for our state convention. It is going to be a grand old time. We started kind of preparations over in Thanksgiving time, and we had a big meeting in winter and worked more on that. But SLC is going to be something special, and I really hope that everyone who is can and it's available and if they can come, that they do, because it's going to be just a great time, and it's going to be hopefully really impactful to a lot of members.
It sounds like Idaho is about to have a great next few months, like as a state association. And it completely brushed over my head that FFA week was less than a month away. So yeah, I forgot a little bit about that. But
It's okay. I've been there.
So I have this last question that I always ask. I put it always at the end of an episode because I think it's really important to hear towards the end, because somebody's going to remember something that they heard more recently. So this last question that I have is, what is a piece of advice that you would give to an FFA member or just a student that is hesitant to get involved in FFA?
When I think about an FFA member, I think about it as a piece of them. It isn't their whole person. So looking back on Eliza, when she was in high school, she went and she was kind of a chameleon. She did a lot of things. She did a little bit of 4-H. She did a little bit of sports. She did a little bit of FFA. And she really kind of changed with each group that she went in. So whether she was on her wrestling team and she was wrestling or a team captain there, or whether she was a chapter president or chapter officer, she kind of changed who she was. And if I could give you any piece of advice to anybody who is an FFA member, who isn't an FFA member, you don't have to change. The things that you do don't make up who you are. They are a piece of you. They're a mosaic of you. I think as people, we sometimes get lost in our identity, and it's very hard in middle school and high school to know who you are and to know what your purpose is, or what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to live, but really figure out, in the best sense, find out who you are, find out the things you love to do and the people that love you and the things that love you, and see how that kind of makes up you. And so when I first got state office, I thought, oh, that's what my identity is. I'm a state officer. But really, it's not. It's just a part of me. I'm also a daughter. I'm also a sports lover, a wrestler. I'm also somebody that loves going out and getting active and going on hikes and going on walks and doing yoga, and someone who loves literature and loves reading. And those are all parts of me, but they aren't who I am. So I challenge everyone, whether they're in high school, middle school, FFA, non-FFA, to figure out the parts that you love of yourself and grow those. Don't make them become your personality, but grow them to be the best you can be. My mom always says you can always control one thing in life, and that's yourself. So if you can do your best to be the best version of you can be, with all the little parts of you, whether it's the sports side, whether it's the academic side, whether it's the FFA, ag, non-ag side, all of them coming together to be the best version of you, then you are going to be a successful person and a successful year. And each day is going to be great because you're going to be the best version of yourself that you can be.
That is truly empowering, I know, not only for me, but for everybody that is going to end up listening to this episode. So thank you so, so, so much for being on the podcast today. I know it has been a long time in the making, but thank you again. I've truly enjoyed hearing your story and being able to share it with so many other people. Is there any closing remarks that you'd like to give before we end the episode?
I don't think so. Just be the best you can be and try every day to grow those parts of you that you love. And I know it might be difficult, but you guys can do it. You guys are strong people. But thank you guys so much for listening to my two cents and a little over here in Idaho. But it was great being here and talking with you today, and I'm so thankful for this experience.
Of course, and thank you again. Like I said, I've greatly enjoyed having you on today. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. I will see y'all back next week.